You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Buffalo Bill Andre Reed. You're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circle the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Yeah. We here.
Let's go, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo Bills. Hey, let's go, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo Bills. Hey, let's go, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo Bills. Hey, let's go, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Guys, thank you so much for joining us in this special Week 14 preview episode between your Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. This episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York, on exit 41 off Route 90. We are joined by a very special guest. We had him on last season before the Bills-Chiefs Week 6 matchup, and then again before the Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. He's a former second-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs in 1991. He played with the Chiefs for 5 years, including with Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana. He is the host of the Believe in Chiefs podcast with Jeff Fettiton. I'd like to welcome Joe Valerio back to the podcast. Joe, it is an honor to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Nate, it's great to be with you. So, yeah, doing well. Gosh, it's been a while, and yeah, but the seasons come by fast, don't they? It's like, can't believe we're already, 12, 13 weeks into the season, and we're thinking about playoff pictures, and, it's time flies, I guess, when you're having fun.
Yeah. But as a Bills fan, we were talking right before the podcast that it's dragged on a little bit longer this season than most seasons. But I mean, I have to ask you, so the Chiefs Packers, we're recording this on a Monday. The Chiefs Packers game just happened yesterday. What is the feeling of Chiefs Kingdom right now after that 27-19 loss to the Packers?
Well, I think, I think this is definitely a fan base that's gotten a little spoiled, probably much like the Bills fan base, right? Over the last several years with the playoff runs and the deep playoff runs and having lots of marquee players to populate your roster. So I think right now the Chiefs fans are thinking, man, woe is me, what happened? And they've got to, I think Chiefs fans have to put some things into perspective that, defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, other head coaches don't sit around just wringing their hands all offseason. They come up with ways to beat teams. And when you have sort of the success that the Chiefs have had, of course, people are going to look to find ways to combat, an offense that can be as, powerful as the Chiefs. Or, when you look at what Steve Spagnuolo has done with their defense, other offensive coordinators are going to look at ways to beat his defenses that he continually tries to evolve. So other people are out there doing their thing too. So I think Chiefs fans need to realize that. And but they're a little down right now because they felt like I think a lot of Chiefs fans felt like this was going to be a run through this last half of the season. Once they started seeing how other teams were playing, that they were going to be able to kind of maybe, I don't want to say cruise. Nobody cruises in the NFL, but at least cruise a little bit more than usual during this last half, especially with some of the struggles that the Bengals have had. They got past the Dolphins in Germany. They gave the Eagles everything they had. That was a very you know, that was a good game. It was a good rematch of the Super Bowl. And I don't think Chiefs fans were as disappointed by that. But I think they may have looked past the Packers a little bit. They're an up-and-coming team. Jordan Love is doing his thing. I mean, he is going to be a good quarterback in this league. The Green Bay running game, which was generally pretty anemic, actually, they found some success against the Chiefs, which the Chiefs defense has been playing pretty well. Nate, you know, without getting too much into it already, you know, I think if as Bills fans are getting ready for this game, the one thing they're going to have to look at is watch the this receiving core of the Chiefs. I think it's their Achilles heel right now. I think their inability to be as effective as they have been in the past, in the passing game, with receivers who could be a little bit more explosive and provide a little bit more down the field, you know, vertical stretch. The Chiefs just right now don't have a whole lot going on in the receiving core other than Travis Kelce. And you don't want your star tight end to always be the marquee receiver, right? You got to have other options to support his style. And I think that's really what this Chiefs team is missing. And I think something that the Bills will probably take advantage of.
What's interesting about the Chiefs is they kind of do things that some Bills fans would like the Bills to do in the draft, like they drafted Sky Moore early, they drafted Rashee Rice early last season. And, you know, the Bills look at that and it's just like, well, we haven't drafted a wide receiver above, what, the second round in like 5 or 6 years or third round. So it's been a while since the Bills have actually put some draft capital. Now, the Bills drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round this last season. So so they put some draft capital in it. But I look at the Chiefs, I'm like, that's the blueprint because that's what you want to do. But now that you're mentioning it, like they're struggling a little bit offensively. Do you think that's because maybe they lost a few veteran free agent pieces, because Tyreek's been gone for 2 seasons now? He wasn't there for that Super Bowl run last season. What's the big difference between that season and this season? Is it the matter of defensive coordinators being able to scheme on this Chiefs team unlike they've been able to do in the past, or is it the lack of weapons, losing Juju Smith-Schuster, stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I think it's been a cumulative effect. Not to take the easy answer, Nate. I don't want to take the easy way out, but I think it's been a cumulative degradation of their passing game. Losing Tyreek, they were still in a mode with the group that they had last year where, you know, they started to attack defenses a little bit differently with, you know, I think Juju gave them a little bit of a dimension that they don't have right now. MVS doesn't seem to really be the back shoulder Terrell Owens, Randy Moss type receiver that I think maybe they hoped that he would be for them, you know, like to give him that big long body out there out on the numbers and throw the ball up and hope he gets it and give Patrick Mahomes that option. It's been a lack of being able to get those guys, you know, to number one, catch the ball. I mean, they've had some struggles just catching the ball, and they just don't have that sure-handed, you know, Julian Edelman type that's going to catch everything in his cylinder and more. It's just been a very strange year for them, and I think their willingness to go a little deeper into the run game may be what's hindering them a little bit. You know, Isaiah Pacheco is really turning out to be a really nice addition to this team. And for a while, it seemed like he was complementary to what they were doing in the passing game. Now the Chiefs seem to be focusing on him. And I think it's holding them back and sort of they're regressing in the pass game right now because they're not doing it. And I think what they're also doing or not doing, Nate, is just going with one receiver and just making that receiver their number one target. And I think it is to me, it's Rashee Rice. Like he's the guy that they need in the red zone because they didn't use him in the red zone against the Packers, which was crazy because they targeted him like 8 or 9 times. He had 8 catches, I believe, in the game against the Packers. And, you know, he was really on when they wanted him to be on. And then they got into the red zone and it was like, where's Rashee Rice? He wasn't in there. And I know Travis is great, you know, around the goal line and everything, but it was odd that they didn't go with one receiver and just until it doesn't work. And that's what I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping they just pick Rashee Rice go with him so that once they start targeting him, it'll open things up for Travis Kelce and it'll open things up for the other receivers. That's what has been sort of their secret sauce is that just rather than receiving by committee, you know, just go with one of your big targets and then go with it until the other team stops you. And then that opens everything else up. And that's what I was hoping they did against the Packers. And when Jeff and I were talking about it on our podcast, that was my wish was I was hoping that they just, you know, went with him and that would force the Packers to then either try to double cover him and then that leaves Travis Kelce open or it leaves some of the other receivers open. So it isn't happening for them in the passing game right now. There's something missing. And I think even the Chiefs, as good as they are as Andy Reid is his offensive mind, I think he's even struggling with it right now.
So an interesting thing just about the Chiefs season in general that you just touched on is that, you know, look, there's been a bunch of narratives about the Buffalo Bills season from a fan perspective. And I'm not as privy to the Chiefs. I know like the big general narratives going on about that. One of them being that the offense isn't as productive as normal. I think that like it's a similar thing with the Buffalo Bills, as at least as of late, is that except the Bills are 6-6 and everyone's like, what's going on compared to 8-4? You're like, well, you're still, you know, leading the conference. You're still in good shape. You know, I look at that and I think to myself, you know, if the defense hadn't lost three starters for the Buffalo Bills, they might be 8-4 as well. And nobody's talking about it. Is this the most common narrative amongst like Chiefs fans as well? Is it's like, what's going on with the offense? And man, this defense is really good and holding this team together.
Yeah, that's what most people in the Kansas City camps are saying, right? They're saying that, man, whew, thank goodness they're having an up year on defense because, you know, the offense isn't staying out on the field. I mean, you're seeing more, you know, they didn't have a whole lot last night, you know, as we're recording this for that Packers game. But, we've definitely seen more three and outs. You don't see a lot of sustained drives that you used to see. And I think we're seeing a lot of field goals, right? There's just something is missing in the red zone as well. And, you know, that is something I think that has a lot of people scratching their heads is, you know, what is this Chiefs team doing or not doing, I should say, on offense that's not bringing back or evoking those same feelings of, wow, this is a magical team that can do, you know, pretty much anything, you know, when they need to. And, you know, you look at their resume this year, you know, it really hasn't been that great. I mean, they opened the season with a loss, but, you know, one of my biggest mantras is that September is the new preseason, right? So I can't take that Detroit loss on opening day. You got to take it with a little bit of grain of salt. You know, it's the first game of the year. Detroit's a really good team. We see that they're playing really well. They're playing good football right now. I mean, that was a good team they played and they lost. Now they did, you know, they did okay against Jacksonville. I mean, it was 17-9. Like it wasn't like they blew them out. I mean, Jacksonville we know is a playoff caliber team. You know, and then you go through the schedule game by game. I mean, yeah, they blew Chicago out, but come on, it's Chicago. They struggled with the Jets. You know, they beat Minnesota by a touchdown. They barely got by Denver the first time and then lost them the second time. You know, the Chargers are the Chargers. I mean, I thought they were going to win the game in Germany against Miami 42-0. The next thing you know, it's 21-14 and they're fighting for their lives. And then, you know, bam, two losses in the last three games, you know, one to Philly and the one to Green Bay, which the Green Bay game was one I definitely think they were looking past as they were getting ready for Buffalo. And then ultimately, you know, with Cincinnati on the schedule. Now, we know Cincinnati's not the team they were, but still, when you're looking at that schedule down the road back in the early part of the season, you know that Chiefs fans and Chiefs alike had the Eagles, the Bills and the Bengals all circled on the last half of the season, and including that Miami game with the Tariq, you know, Hill kind of revenge game, air quote, right? I mean, there was a lot of games that they had circled on their calendar, and this team just seems to be looking past other teams and they're just not, you know, they're just either they're not the same team they were or all the other teams are catching up, which is something that, you know, you'd expect in the NFL, right? You don't expect people just to you know, just cowtail and be done with, you know, and let the Chiefs do their thing, right? I mean, it's it is going to be an interesting second half of the season, and this Buffalo game is going to be one you watch that people are going to be tuning in because they want to really see how the Chiefs can react to losing two games of their last three. And, you know, some are saying that Buffalo, if they lose this game with the look at the rest of the AFC, if Buffalo loses this game, it could be the end of the season. Now, granted, there's still, you know, there'll be four more games left after that. But still, if they lose that game, it is going to be a really tough road to hoe.
Yeah, we were looking at that as a podcast, and looking at the Chiefs-Eagles game is like one part of the rest of the season, and then everyone else is the second part of the rest of the season. Because I'm like, well, if you can go 1-2 in those games and go, you know, 3-1 the rest of the way, then you can still potentially make a run at a spot like that. But yeah, losing both of these games would be really tough for the Buffalo Bills to make the playoffs. Their back is against the wall. And let me know what you think about this, Joe, just because, you know, you follow the Chiefs so closely and, you know, you were just mentioning the Bengals with Joe Burrow being out. To me, it kind of seems like before it was the AFC goes through the Chiefs and the Bengals. And as a Bills fan, like you have to beat at least one of those two teams. And like it's going to be a really, really tough out. Now the Bengals are probably not going to make the playoffs now without Joe Burrow. You know, the Pittsburgh, the Steelers, the Colts, like two or three different teams, the Browns, all these teams are on their second string quarterbacks. You know, the Jaguars are not unbeatable. For the first time, it feels like the Chiefs are not unbeatable. Is it a potential, like I look at it as a Bills fan, if they get in, they could potentially do damage just because the AFC isn't, you know, so top heavy that no one can be beat. I mean, do you kind of look at that way, you know, from a Chiefs fan perspective, a little bit differently than previous seasons in that way that I do?
Yeah, I think for a team that, you know, and I mean no offense by this, but it, obviously the record shows a team that is middling right now, right? And the Bills are middling. They're 6-6. They have a 500 record. I think the AFC lends itself much better to a solid team that's just having its struggles, right? Like the Bills are. I mean, they're not a middling team because they're not a good team. They're a middling team because of things like you said, Nate. They've had some injuries, you know, things just sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. I mean, if anybody who, you know, I'm sure watched that Bills and Eagles game, which I thought was a fantastic game. And, you know, I was, you know, watching that one in a couple of different reasons because, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the Bills, who the Bills are going to be getting ready for this Chiefs game. And then I'm also, you know, I live in Philadelphia and I grew up an Eagles fan. So I was watching that game in a couple of different ways. And I like the Bills too. I really do. I really, really like the Bills as an organization. I think they're full of a team of character and they're resilient. And I really do. I really do appreciate them. But I was watching that game from a lot of different lenses. And I was watching that game and thinking, you know, the Bills can beat anybody in the AFC. Now, I say that with the NFC would be a little bit more of a struggle. So I'm actually playing into your hand here and kind of agreeing with what you said. I think the NFC for a middling team, again, I mean, no offense by that to the Bills, but like a team that's kind of struggling to get into the playoffs and their backs are against the wall, I think I wouldn't want to be in the NFC and sneak into kind of take the back door into the playoffs, because I think you'd run into, you know, there's some buzzsaws there that I think in the NFC that would it would cause some problems. I think between the Eagles and the Cowboys, the 49ers and the Lions, like I think it would be like, all right, it's going to be just a matter of time. But to go along with what you were saying, in the AFC, I really feel like if the Bills can pull it together and a couple of things can happen, whether they beat the Chiefs or, you know, they go on a run towards the end of the season and get themselves into the playoffs, there's no one that this team, the Buffalo Bills, couldn't beat. And we've seen that, right? The Bills have championship DNA, man. They're like, you know, they're there. And all the players on the team know what it's like to be there and to get into the playoffs. So it's not going to be anybody's first rodeo, which would be scary, especially if they got matched up against somebody like Jacksonville or something. Or, you know, I wouldn't want to be the Jacksonville Jaguars and, you know, have the Bills, you know, sneak into the playoffs and you think you've got, well, we're just, you know, we're the whatever seed and the Bills are whatever seed. I wouldn't, that would scare me if I were, you know, like the Dolphins, you know, or, and even really the Chiefs. And we'll see what that looks like this week. If, you know, if they hang with each other, it's going to be interesting.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So you mentioned a couple of different ways that, you know, you really like the Bills organization, you like their championship DNA. Like, I'm very intrigued by you saying that, not because, you know, I don't think you're right, but like, you're a former player, so your opinion matters a lot more than someone like mine who has never played the game. And, you know, we just had on our network, you know, Eric Wood, Jerry Ostrowski, and John Fina talking about former offensive lineman also.
Yeah.
Talking about Sean McDermott and a big, you know, narrative that's just come up, you know, in the last few games or almost the entire season since they've been losing has been whether Sean McDermott needs to go or not. And, you know, Eric, you know, Jerry and John were like, you know, they were all consensus no from the outside. Like, the guys are still playing. They're still, you know, playing hard. They haven't given up on their coach yet. They haven't given up on their team yet. Like, I mean, from your perspective, do you see something similar? I mean, is the DNA based on like the GM and what he's built for the players, or is it the coaching, or what do you mean when you say that? And do you agree with them?
Yeah, no, well, first of all, thanks for bringing up some great names. John and I were contemporaries, John Fina, and Jerry and I were actually teammates in Kansas City. And wow. We grew up, Jerry Ostrowski and I probably grew up maybe 40 minutes from each other here in the Philadelphia area. He went to Owen J. Roberts High School. I went to Ridley High School. And my niece actually went to Owen J. Roberts High School. So I know very well the area, and I know Jerry very well, and he's a great guy. We had a chance to play together, which was really fun. And you know, good old number 70 boy, he was a great one. But I think you go back historically, right? You just look at teams, and you know, I think about my era with the Bills that we played. I mean, those teams that went to the four straight Super Bowls, and we lost to the Bills in the AFC Championship game. And at Rich Stadium, back in, which was the 93 season, but it was in, you know, obviously the calendar year of 1994, by the time you got to that deep into the playoffs. And, that team just was, they had it all, right? I mean, they were a team, and I think the Bills just kind of kept building on that foundation. Obviously, like every organization has its ups and downs since, you know, it was 30 plus years ago, from some of those squads that, you know, went to the four straight Super Bowls. But I think there's something there with that and that history and that legacy and the fan base that brings that together and brings that to bear. But then you just look at, you know, you look at this roster and, you know, you think about Josh Allen and what he's done in his young career so far. And you think about Stephon Diggs and, you know, you think about some of these guys that, you know, that really have, you know, rebuilt and retooled this organization, and they just all know what it's like to be there and to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, to, you know, to be deep into the playoffs year after year. I just think it's fun to watch. And it's also fun to watch when I think about, you know, what an organization like Buffalo represents, right? Like, Kansas City and Buffalo, I think, are very similar in probably their market size, right? From a TV market perspective and, you know, the kind of fan base that you have, that, you know, you don't have a whole lot of other things going on, right? Other than, you know, basically the Bills and Chiefs. I mean, now, granted, you got the Sabres, but and the Chiefs have or Kansas City has the Royals, but like, it's not a huge like four sport pro town. You know, you got some colleges, but they're kind of off a little bit, right? You do have Mizzou and KU and K-State, but they're kind of like, they're not in Kansas City, right? So fans have to like travel around. So it's not like it's a town that really focuses on football, right? Especially, especially, these two organizations, football is kind of king in both cities. And I don't know, I just feel like there's that connection there in sort of the fan base and what they have to look forward to as these seasons kind of gear up. So yeah, that's why I just think it's, you know, and I respect that because, you know, some of these big market teams, you know, it's of course players, you know, if you're a free agent and, you know, you're at the end of your career and you've won a Super Bowl or whatever, and, you know, maybe I want to go live in LA, right, and see what it's like, or I want to go somewhere where it's warm and be in Tampa or Miami, right, or maybe even try New York, right, you know, kind of, you know, the center of the universe, right, playing for the Giants or Jets or, but like, you know, I just think Buffalo and Kansas City are those towns that like, I don't know, it just breathe football, and I love that. Like, so I think the championship DNA goes deeper than just wins and losses. I think it goes deep into just sort of the tradition and sort of the feel that you get, you know, when you walk out onto to play a team like the Bills and what they represent.
So the thought about Sean McDermott then, I mean, what are your thoughts on, like, I mean, is it time for him to go or just so the big narrative right now for us is like, you know, the Bills are 2-6 on games decided by, you know, 8 points or less, one score or less, right? They're 2-6. So last year they were 7-3. Nobody had an issue now. This year, to me, sure, things could have been done differently. Absolutely. I'm not giving Sean McDermott a pass that none of it is his fault. But then sometimes, I mean, you watch the Eagles game, so you know, like, sometimes a little bit of officiating, sometimes the ball bounces the wrong way. Like, there, and as a former player, like, sometimes aren't there seasons where the ball just bounces the wrong way? And it's just like, there's not necessarily one person to blame, but it's an aggregate of things. But fans, you know, we have one track mind. We're like, this is the problem, right? You can't fire officials and you can't fire, you know, turnover. So you got to like think about firing the coach, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Nate, I get that. And I get that fans, you know, sometimes feel that way about, you know, about a coach and, you know, look at the Vikings, right? They go from having that season just, you know, where everything went right and they won all those games, last minute drives, winning games by a point, 2 points, 3 points. And then all of a sudden they're on just like the Bills. They're on the opposite end of that this year, right? Where they're losing those same games that they won last year. And that's football, right? But here's what I would tell fans, you know, just from having a little bit of gray hair here, is thinking about when you've got a really good coach who knows how to win. I mean, you know, just look at McDermott's record, right? Over the course, he's 68-41. He's got a 624, you know, 62.4% winning percentage, right? So it's like he finished last three seasons, right? First in the AFC. So three division champions, finished second the year they lost to the Texans in the wild card game, went to the playoffs in his first year, right? Against the Jags. Like, you look at this and you're thinking, what would you do? You want to sacrifice that momentum? Because the story that I always use, I always go back to Marty Schottenheimer leaving the Cleveland Browns. I mean, people like Marty's big knock was he can't win the big one, right? He can't win the big one. And he gets to the playoffs and he can't win. And, you know, like, where were the Browns since, right? I mean, yeah, they had a year or two here. But like, he had that organization rolling. It got to, you know, two AFC championships. Yeah, did he win them and go to the big one? No, but, you know, boy, did he provide an organization that, or he provided the fans with an organization that was going to win, you know, week in and week out, and to give fans something really to root for. And then they fire him. And where did they go from there? They like went in the tank and they never really came back to the same prominence that, that he had brought that team to. And I know I'm this is old history, and I'm going back, you know, way a ways here, back to the late 80s, you know, early 90s. But that's what it always makes me feel like, when you have something good in a coach and he's doing the right things, there's only going to be one team that hoists that Lombardi trophy out of 32 every year. And it's only been back to back since 2003, 2004, right? So it's been almost 30 or 20 years since a team has done it, when the Patriots did it, right, with Tom Brady almost 20 years ago, won back-to-back Super Bowls. So, you know, I hope fans can take a deep breath and say, all right, it's been a good run. Some, like you said, Nate, some weeks the ball doesn't bounce. Some seasons the ball doesn't bounce your way. But have faith. You got a winning organization, 3 division championships in the last 3 years. Yeah, we're 6-6 now, but the season's still – yeah, we're still there, man, right? If they beat the Chiefs, they win out, they beat the Dolphins, they get some of these marquee wins, it gets some momentum in the playoffs. And like you said, who knows what can happen? So I'm not a big believer in ousting a coach when you've had such good success, because I've seen it happen way too many times where that happens and then teams have a hard time recovering from that, and it takes a really long time.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up all those things, Joel. And I'm going to end it on that because it was so well put. People can find your podcast for anything Chiefs related at the Believe in Chiefs podcast. You do a great job with Jeff Edgerton. I was just listening to your matchup preview against the Packers. I haven't caught the recap yet. Where can people find you on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram or X or whatever you want to call it? Instagram.
Yeah, sure. Most of my handle is always at Joe Valerio 73. So my old Kansas City number. And our Believe podcast is BLEAV, Believe in Chiefs, on the Believe Podcast Network, and have fun doing it. You know, we talk a lot of football. You know, if you listen in, we do a lot of analysis on offensive line play or position grouping or sometimes the league itself. So, you know, it's not always 100% Chiefs centric. So if you just want to listen in for, you know, a little bit of entertaining information, I try to give a lot of insider stories from my experiences playing, much like, you know, John and Jerry probably did when they were sharing their time with you. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. But thanks, Nate, for having me on. It's always great to be with you, and I'm really looking forward to this game. I had this game circled on my calendar, and I'm not disappointed because it's an 8-4, 6-6 matchup. I think these are two great teams with great futures, awesome history together playing each other, and I think it's going to be another really, really good game.
Once again, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago, at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. Thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate Joe Valerio, and looking forward to discussing the Bills Chiefs recap with you guys after the game on Sunday. Go Bills.
Yeah, you find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables. Breaking them. You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them, breaking them. You find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables. Breaking them. You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them. Breaking them, you know the mafia dangerous. Put a hit out on your favorite team. Find Steph Diggs, he running the scene. Khalil Shakir, he doing his thing. Allen got weapons, shooting the bomb. Mafia mind, please don't step on my shoes. Game day ones, the white, the red, the blues. Hey man, breaking tables is traditional. Yeah. Wishing a fish, look at my drip. Never cheating like Belichick is. Sean McDermott never telling the biz. Deion Dawkins, Mr. Brown, we got Mitch. Gabe Davis told tapping to this. Who making anthems that slapping like nobody. This? Nobody getting the traction like this. Don Brown never been through a table. A Lombardi will get me through a table. This is our year, will not be a fable. This is my year to perform on a table. Just to show you that I'm Buffalo ass. Going viral, your fans cannot match us. Don't you come to our house and just trash us. Get the table like Davon and Bubba Ray. What's up?
What's up?
Do you know who we are?
Yeah, I know.
It's the Mafia, baby. Yeah, everybody know. Don Brown.
Get the tables.
Yeah, you find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables.
You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them, breaking them. You find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables. You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them, breaking them. This for the mafia ladies. This shout out, they go to the mafia babes. I'm loving it here. You got mafia braids. Camo hat with a 17 on it. 17 on the earrings. You flaunt it. When it get cold, Buffalo got the sweater hat. And you know the number 17 still on it. Josh Allen in the ring. You want it. Hey, you find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables. You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them, breaking them. You find us, we breaking the tables. We tailgating, breaking them tables. You know the mafia dangerous. You see us, we breaking the tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them tables. We breaking them, breaking them.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.